Huntsville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for the youth. Thank God for little Tyreek, you know. Ever since he's been singing, he even won first place in the talent show. Singing that same song, he was praying Jesus. Amen. Telling folk how our God is an awesome God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we thank God for him. We thank God for all of our youth.
Yes, yes.
And those who, Sister Hunter and others who are working with our youth.
Amen.
Tyreek is one of our little junior deacons. Amen. Y'all saw he got happy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's sincere. Amen. We just need more and more. Yes, Lord. If a young person can get sincere like that, we need some older ones to start getting sincere. And not just going through the motion.
Yes, sir.
Amen. In the to Reverend Coleman and our associate and to all who are present, as I always say, God is good.
Yes, sir.
And his mercy endures forever.
Yes, sir.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 21, 21st chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. And we want to read a few verses from that chapter with our emphasis on verse number 3. Everybody got to say amen. Anybody need a little more time, say hold on. Amen. Beginning at verse number 1. It reads, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and the way he showed himself, and this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called a twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged in the sea. Verse 15 says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus say, feed my sheep.
Yeah.
The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Yes, sir.
God our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now thanking you for another preaching privilege. As we come in your presence, we ask that you grant us a fresh anointing of your spirit. And then, Lord, we ask that as the word go forth, that it may help encourage somebody. Lift up a bowed down head. Father, please to have mercy. The men of broken heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're going with you.
Amen. All right.
For a minute, I want to talk about from this subject. Don't quit.
Don't quit.
God's not through with you yet.
Amen. Amen.
Don't quit. God is not through with you yet. Let me begin by saying that when we fail in our walk with the Lord, many times it can make us, thank you, Ursus, feel worthless or sometimes unworthy. And so the easiest thing for us to do is to give up and quit. And many times, like Peter, we go back to what we used to be or what we used to do. Now in the text, this is what Peter did. He said to the other disciples, I'm going fishing. And the other said, we'll come with you. But now when Peter said this, he was kind of still in limbo because of what he had did after Jesus' arrest. Bear in mind that he had seen the resurrected Lord two times already, but before Christ went to the cross, according to Matthew chapter 26, Peter denied that he knew Jesus. Denied him, and the Bible says using the oath and swearing. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that Peter was using foul language, but this was the kind of swearing that a person does in a court. He was saying, in effect, may God strike me dead if I'm lying. Well, let me bring it home. You know what I'm talking about. Perhaps when you want somebody to really believe you, what you're saying, and even if it's a lie, many times we say, I swear to God. And know you lying. Are you with me? But it was in Matthew 26:7-4, Peter's third denial of Jesus, that immediately the rooster crowed. And the Bible said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. And so no doubt he remembered what Jesus had already told him in Matthew 26:33-34, when he was boasting that even if the rest of the disciples desert him, Peter said, I'll never desert you. But Jesus told Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times.
Amen.
And so in the text, no doubt he was still carrying around this guilt of his failure in his heart. So not knowing what to do, he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old life. And perhaps thinking he was not worthy of the Lord's love anymore. And you know, perhaps that may sound familiar to someone here this morning, or someone who may listen by way of radio who have made a mistake, and you fail, and you feel that you're not worthy of God's love anymore because of maybe your failure or failures. And so you're saying to yourself, well, what's the use? I might as well give up. But my brothers and sisters, my word to you this morning is don't quit, because God is not through with you yet.
Amen.
In other words, don't feel bad, because I don't know of anybody who at some point in their lives haven't felt like giving up for one reason or another. Perhaps things didn't work out the way you wanted them to work out. Someone did or said something to you. Maybe you did something to someone else and now you regret it. Maybe you started out on fire for the Lord, but now you become slack in your service, slack in your attendance. You're giving more time to other things rather than seeking the Lord and worshiping the God like you used to. Or it could be you've been praying and seeking God for a long time for some specific need, but nothing has changed yet. And so you begin to wonder, think that maybe God has forgotten your address. But friend of mine, my word of encouragement to you is don't give up, give in, and quit, because God still loves you. And the answer to your prayers is closer than you think.
Amen.
Your miracle is just around the corner. In other words, God didn't forget about you, your need, and he still knows your address. As a matter of fact, he knows everything about you, right down to the number of hairs on your head. And most of all, he still loves us in spite of our shortcomings. But my brothers and sisters, as long as there is free will, there will always be trials, either inflicted by the world, the devil, or sometimes inflicted by ourselves, knowingly or by accident. Because I believe you'll agree when I say that we all have one time shot ourselves in the foot, so to speak. In other words, caused our own pain and misery. And you know, that's self-inflicted pain is usually the most painful, because we like to think that we can control what we do to ourselves. And so I'm sure that Peter was no different in his way of thinking, because remember, early before Jesus' arrest, Peter said that he would pretty much do anything for the Lord. And as a matter of fact, he would die for him. But the next thing we know, Peter denies even knowing the Lord. Now, talking about a major flip-flop, because one moment he's willing to die, protect the Lord, and the next he's denying that he's ever known the Lord. But you know, it's much easier to be courageous when the person who can do anything and everything and know no limit in this world or the next is standing right there next to you. But in the garden, Brother Hawkins, Peter see Jesus being arrested and led off like any other man. And so I'm sure that Peter's whole world was coming apart at the scene, or so he thought, because when Jesus was being persecuted, just like the other disciples, all Peter could do was watch from afar, and no doubt wondering what in the world would happen next. And so in the text, Peter and the others are walking along the shores of Galilee, and no doubt remembering in his heart and mind that terrible night when he denied his Lord, Peter decided that he was going back to his old way of life. And so the text says, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the other said, "We're going with you." And then verse 3 goes on to say that they went out and got in the boat and they fished all night long, but they caught nothing. But the next morning when the sun came up, verse 4 says that Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize him. Then Jesus asked them, according to verse 5, "Did you catch anything?" And they answered, "No." Here we see a lot of times when we don't know what to do, we go back to what we know how to do, or what we think we should know how to do. But note, if you will, that even when they returned to what they knew, without Jesus being involved, it was not successful. For even after giving it their all, they had no success. They hadn't caught not one little fish. But note what happens after they quit trying to do it on their own, and they relied on what Jesus said. Note, Jesus says to them, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." And the Bible says that when they did this, all of a sudden, there were so many fish in the net that they couldn't even pull it in. And then John recognizes who Jesus was. He says, "It is the Lord." Peter heard this. He put on his outer clothes and that he had taken off, and he jumped into the sea. And the next thing, and the text says, but the other disciples, they stayed in the boat and dragged in the net of fish. And when Peter, yes, Lord, the disciples got to the boat, got out of the boat, they saw some bread and charcoal, fire and fish on it. And then Jesus told them to bring some of the fish they had just caught. Jesus told them to come and eat some breakfast. Now this says, the text says in verse 14 that this is the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. But the point is, prior to Jesus' involvement in what they were doing, even though they were seasoned fishermen, they fished all night long, but they caught nothing. Now this says to us this morning that God didn't intend for them, nor does he intend for us, to return back to something familiar, because when Jesus first called them, he said that he would make them become fishers of men, and he hadn't changed his mind. Because, my brothers and sisters, when you return to something that you already know, it doesn't require very much faith on your part because you already know what to expect. Meaning familiarity will never stretch you and allow your faith to grow. And that's why Jesus said no one pours new wine in old wineskins. In other words, God wants to take our walk with him to new levels. Meaning he wants us to grow in our relationship with him. And then as we do, he will reveal more and more of himself in our walk with him along the way. But you know, human nature almost always fight change that we are not ready for. Because we like to think that the old way is better. And that's why the phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, rings true in most people. And so the text reveals that Peter wasn't ready for the change that was happening. But God was doing a new thing to bring him closer to him. And he's always continuing to do new things in our lives. Because he want to take us to some new levels and show us more of it, of his goodness every day of our lives. And the more we rely on him and his goodness and not on our own ability, the stronger our faith will become. And then we'll begin to understand that he's our power source instead of ourselves. And so God wanted Peter and those who were with him, yes, Lord, and he wants us to know this morning that you can't or we can't do anything without him. He didn't want Peter to do it on his own, and he doesn't expect us to do anything on our own either. And my brothers and sisters, Jesus wants us to know that he will be there with us every step of the way. He'll be there to help us by always telling us where to throw our nets so we can be successful. The point is that it doesn't matter what happened. God is still God, and he changes not. And so in this beach scene, in verse 15 through 17, Jesus led Peter through an experience that removed the cloud of his denial forever. Peter denied the Lord three times, and three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. And when Peter answered yes, Jesus told him finally to feed my sheep. Because it's one thing to say that you love the Lord, but the real test is our willingness to serve him. A lot of folk like to render lip service and talk about how much we love the Lord. Yes, but can the Lord depend on you? Are you giving him your service? Because Peter had repented now, and Jesus was asking him to commit his life to him. And so Peter's life changed. His occupation changed from fisherman to evangelist. In other words, fisher of men. His identity changed from impetuous rock to rock. And his relationship to Jesus changed because he was now forgiven. And he finally understood the significance of Jesus' word about his death and resurrection. And so Peter is now restored. And Jesus said to him in verse 19, he said, Peter, I want you to follow me. Now that says to me that no matter what my failure may be, it said, don't quit or give up because God still loves me. Because our failure, I need to tell you, it isn't final. And God isn't through with us yet. He's got some great work ahead for you and me. And he's not concerned about your past failures, but your present and future potentials. And so don't quit or give up, because God is not through with you yet. And like Peter, all of us fail and fall short of the mark. But great men and women get back up and keep on going. Now, like the songwriter said, we fall down, but we get up. Because real saints are just sinners who fall down and get back up and keep on pressing toward the mark. For instance, David went after God's own heart. He fell from greatness, even going to the point of murder to get what he wanted. Yet we find him raising up out of the dust of failure, shaking himself off and crying out, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your mercies. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins is always before me. And against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me the right spirit. And most of all, he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And in so many words, David is saying, I can live without my kingdom. I can live without my children. I can live without my mother. I can live without my father. But I cannot live without your presence in my life. And so when it seems as if the accuser and the world is dishing out more than you think you can take, please don't quit, because God is not through with you yet. Yes, you may have failed the Lord in some way, but you ought to thank God for his grace and his forgiveness, because the Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Although many times folk always tend to look back at their many failures when times get tough. But God isn't interested in your past, because your past was forgiven when you accepted Jesus as Savior Lord of your life. And therefore, he's more concerned with your future, because just as he had big plans for Peter, he has some big plans for you and me as well. And so as I try to move to the close, my brothers and sisters, anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, and he or she is created anew. The old has gone, and a new life has begun. So don't quit, because God is not through with us yet. Because when you think about the cross of Calvary, we need to know this one thing, and that is, Jesus will never give up on us. That's why the Bible says in the midst of his trials, when he was being beaten with beyond recognition, the Bible says he never said a word. Even when they nailed him to that old rugged cross, instead of complaining, he said to the people, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And when one of the thieves got to rattling on Jesus, talking about if you are the Savior, why don't you come down, save yourself and others? Well, he could have come down, but because of his love, he stayed right there. And that's why the Bible say, he said, greater love has no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for a friend, because he knew who knew no sin became sin for us. So when you think about wanting to give up and quit, just think about all that the Lord has done for you so that you could be forgiven. And when you do that, it'll make your circumstances begin to look insignificant, because you realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ain't God all right? But not only will we fail, but people will also fail us, because family and friends, they will fail us. The government
will fail us. And even life will sometimes let us down. But the fact that God is always there with us, and he never changes, and he'll never let us down. He will never fail us, no matter the circumstance, because he's continually working all things out for our good when you put your faith and trust in him. And so when life throws you a curveball, just throw it right back and know that God will take care of you no matter what the circumstances are. That's why the Bible said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died that we might live. Yes, he died for your sins and mine. But right early Sunday morning, he rose up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. It's because he lives I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but every now and then I stumble sometime, I fail sometime, but that's all right. He promised to be right by my side. He walk with me, he talk with me, and he tell me that I have his own. Ain't God all right? So hold on, don't quit, don't give up, because weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy comes in the morning. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up when you fall down? Yes, he will. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. How do I know? Because the Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell me so. Don't give up when you fail. Don't give up when you fall down. Just get right back up.
Amen. Amen.
Get back up. Suppose Jesus would have given up on us when he was on the cross. Suppose he would listen to that thief and came down.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. But he stayed there. He didn't stay there because he couldn't get down. But he stayed there because of his love.
Yes,
his
sir.
Love for
yes,
us.
Sir.
And because of our love for him, no matter how hard the road may be, we ought to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. May God bless you.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Every 10 years, the federal government conducts a population count of everyone in the U.S. Data from these counts help to inform the parameters of how the government will distribute more than $675 billion to communities annually. This includes you and everyone in your community. This affects funding for schools and other educational institutions, transportation, housing, healthcare, and employment. You can complete your 2020 census online, over the phone, or by mail. Visit www.census2020.gov.
Dr. Paul Matthews, specializing in the treatment of neck and back pain, using only natural healing methods, no opioids or surgeries. So if you're suffering from low back pain or whiplash, burning sensations, or muscle spasms from an accident or injury, you need Dr. Paul now at the Wooddale Chiropractic Clinic, 711 Bolton Avenue in Alexandria. Open from 9 a.m. to 12 noon and 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 318-625-7103. It's Dr. Paul, y'all.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT.